It's 3:30 exactly on the dot on a Tuesday, the 17th of October. And I mentioned to you at the start of the show, I'd be introducing you again to Barry Chapman. If you joined us for our recent conversation about 2 weeks back, you'll no doubt be looking forward to this one because, well, Barry, welcome back to the studio. We've established a rapport along the lines of interesting plumbing bits and pieces that most people are affected by and yet not particularly au fait with, because it's a kind of secret science, plumbing. It's
Thanks very much, Dave. Yeah, great to be back again. Plumbing, very, very, very underestimated. People just think it's connect the pipe and keep it going, but there's, like majority of things in our country, there's a set of bylaws and SANS regulations and standards and all sorts of things that need to happen. When it comes to picking a plumber, make sure the guy's registered, qualified, and has the correct paperwork behind him.
Yeah, because there are quite a few chaps that will have a go. I know this. And generally, they are more affordable, it would appear to be, than the registered trade, but buyer beware, because you're going to end up with problems down the line and it's going to cost you a hell of a lot more to sort them out. I wanted to ask you, while we're on the subject of stormwater, because there's a lot of it around at the moment, you know that issue that continues to plague the users of Thompson's Bay and the tidal pool in particular? There's a stormwater drain that seems to get overrun with sewerage, and it's an interesting conundrum. How does that happen when the sewerage connects to the stormwater drain and it all runs onto the beach? Is that something that is unusual?
So this is a horrible problem that poor old Caesar Water has been trying to remedy. And here again, it moves into utilizing people that are qualified and know what they're doing. Because what happens in certain areas, and I don't know whether it's happening there or not, but I have heard of areas where it's been done, where people are connecting their stormwater into their sewer lines.
Or the other way around, sewer into the stormwater.
Happens less often, but more often your stormwater is connected into the sewer, because majority of your properties will have a sewer connection point. Some other properties, you need to then sort out your own stormwater, have a soak away, an attenuation tank with a dissipator or something like that. And a lot of people don't want to spend the 40,000 to 80,000 rand required for that design to attenuate and look after your stormwater. So it's an easy little thing connected to the sewer line.
And just to stop you there, there's a legal requirement for you to manage your stormwater. You can't just divert it onto the neighbor below you.
No. So our municipal bylaws stipulate that the person in front of you or below you is obliged to take your stormwater in a controlled manner. They're not forced to. They can say no, but so that
in a controlled manner. So if it gently flows through the gaps in your wall or whatever into the next property, that's okay. But if you've got a real sort of, if you've concentrated all your flow into one pipe, which becomes a bit of a venturi, and that's now blasting into the neighbor, that would be a problem.
So a little bit of surface runoff going through your wall and stuff like that's not major.
Yeah.
If it causes any form of wash away or damage, then that's a no-no. With a controlled manner, mean piping it through the person's property. So you don't just stick it through the wall and go, hey, here's the water for you, sort it out.
So the onus is on you to establish the pipe work through the property below you?
100%.
Wow.
Well, I mean, your house, you're fortunate you're on the road, but if you had someone behind you and they just decided to stick a stormwater pipe into your garden and said, thanks, Dave, just pipe it down, cost you 20 grand, you can just pipe it, pipe my stormwater down. I would rant and rave a little bit.
It's an interesting question. I've never thought about it. I've never thought, where does the stormwater go to? It disappears, but I presume someone in a previous iteration had built the right thing, because it doesn't stick around and it hasn't washed away the neighbors below us. And it's a pretty old property.
So majority of your properties, the stormwater runs through the side. That's why you have servitudes on properties or building lines, so that it allows you to run services through. So you would have a stormwater line running through your the neighbor in front of you, and the ideal thing is that it's a continuous run of pipe and your neighbor doesn't connect into that pipe, so that pipe is now solely your responsibility to look after.
So if that gets blocked, that's when you, even if it's not on your property, you're
still your pipe.
So you need to then call the experts.
Yes, sir.
How do you go about finding the blockage?
So we've got various forms of, well, unblocking things, but then finding blockages. We've got CCTV cameras, and on the head of the camera has got a frequency generator, and then we take a little locator and we can track where the pipe is running underground. Solid concrete blocks sometimes get stuck inside there and you actually can't get it out with the machine, but now you don't want to go dig up 10 meters of line. So that's when the locator comes in. You pinpointed 500 mil kind of diameter radius, and then dig down and you run the money.
Okay.
So yes, you pay a little bit for the service of the camera, but it's certainly beats spending 2 days digging up a person's garden with landscaping and labor and all sorts of other things. So pay a little bit more for the equipment and actually reduce your total bill massively.
So getting back to the issue around the Thompson's Bay spillage, which is, seems to be an ongoing thing, it would seem as if people have connected their storm water to the sewer.
Yes. Yeah.
So and then that fills up the sewer, and then it overflows.
The pumps can only pump so much. They're rated to accept, you know, so it's all calculated on each toilet basin has a number value to it. So those values are then calculated together. The pump station is then spec'd according to those values feeding into it, and then plans for the future as well. But then when people connect stormwater into it, there's no way in hell you can ever expect that system to maintain that. So it then overflows and it backs up. So that's why it is so important to make sure that you're using reputable, qualified, registered people to carry out your work, because it comes with a fine as well. I think the last I heard, the fine was 150,000 rand for cross-contamination.
Wow. And I presume it wouldn't be the owner of the property that's instructed their subcontractors or their building contractor to get rid of the stormwater by going an illegal route. I presume this is just someone taking a chance.
So unfortunately, the homeowner remains responsible.
Wow, even if you are completely unaware of what's been going on.
That's why you employ professionals.
Jeez.
So the homeowner in a civil way can then go after the contractor that did the work. But when it comes to the actual fine, it's issued to the homeowner.
Wow. So there's a lot more to the plumbing business than simply the blocked drain in the kitchen and the toilet that won't flush.
It all goes downhill.
What are some of the in Ballito at the moment, North Coast generally, what are some of the projects that you guys are being particularly busy with?
So we've kind of focusing a lot on our maintenance at the moment. In the Ballito area, we're working in Zululami and Ilaleni on quite a few housing projects. We're in Palm Lakes doing a couple of small developments there. Fairview Estate doing some plumbing and some spectacular.
Fairview is all kind of I don't know if it's all off the grid, but certainly there is a sort of soak pits and septic tanks and things. They're not connected to the mains, are they?
So all soak pit, septic tanks.
That's quite an art. Is it an effective way of dealing with sewer waste?
100%, if you look after it. So a septic tank is like you're on my body. It needs to be healthy. So by putting Jik and Jay's Fluid and Dettol and all those things down the drain, we're not going to help it. It needs bacteria in it for it to survive and for it to process and eat all the solid matter and liquefy it. So that's the important part, is healthy bacteria, healthy septic. A healthy septic tank does not smell.
And I might be, again, wrong, but I was under the impression that if you've got a good septic tank, you actually don't need to pump it out. It takes care of itself.
It does, 100%. So the important things there, fat traps going into your septic tank. Kitchens are terrible for that. Make sure you scrape your plates off, get all the solid matter and everything off your plates. When you're going into the bathroom there, your sanitary products, those baby wipe, tissue wipe thingies that they've decided that toilet paper wasn't good enough, so we need to use a toilet wipe.
Yeah, that's bad.
Those are terrible. So literally the only thing that needs to go down a septic tank is your poo-poo, your wee-wee, and your toilet paper.
And I believe there's a specific, there is a specification for toilet paper in South Africa. And I know this because a friend of mine once upon a time discovered a wonderfully soft toilet paper made from cotton. It was called Cottontail, very big in Japan and places. And he tried to import this to South Africa, and the controls body said, South African specifications will only allow a certain, it's got to be made out of certain fibers, not cotton, because that creates those massive,
you alluded to them,
to the wet wipe bergs that have been blocking sewers in the big in metropolitan cities.
So I'll generally, your clients that have septic tanks, I'll advise them to go down the line of a single ply toilet paper.
Really?
The reason for that is it breaks down so much quicker. So your upper market two ply toilet papers are so well manufactured that they take a while to break down. And they are responsible for a lot of blocked toilets. You know, when your kid jumps on the toilet and he takes half a roll of two-ply to sort himself out and then tries to flush the toilet and then screams, "Mom!" because there's water running out the bathroom.
It sounds like a terrible subject to even be discussing, but I mean, these are the facts of life and regular occurrences. And I presume you guys have become very used to dealing with what most of us find really unpleasant, offensive matter. It's just, you know, natural, I suppose.
That's it. I mean, it's like any industry you work in. I think when I first was an apprentice in the plumbing side, I had my journeyman that was busy eating a sandwich, and we were working on a line, and I looked at him and I was like, "How? Why? You're eating and you're working like there's nothing to wash your hands or anything." And a couple of months later, I was doing the same thing.
This is true. One becomes used to all sorts of interesting and curious things in this life that we live. But your business particularly successful. You're the leak specialist, the drain specialist, and the geyser specialist. So three, pretty much. I mean, they're all interconnected, but they are very different disciplines, are they not?
Yeah. So the whole reason for the split up was, with the regulations regarding geysers and making sure that they're installed in a compliant manner and uplifting standards, I formed a company that was solely focused on geyser installations, and I could focus my attention and time on training those guys to be the best that they can possibly be, which has worked like an absolute treat. The quality of the installations that we're getting out of our staff and the satisfaction from the clients is it's proof in the pudding that the guys are doing what they need to do and they're doing it right. And then down the drain specialist side of things was, I always wanted to specialize in the CCTV and the high pressure jetting, and, you know, really offer a pretty broad spectrum service for sewerage and stormwater drainage. But then also not having competitor's company being Chapman Plumbing arriving at your house going, "I'm going to unblock your drain," for another plumber that may phone me and say to me, "You've got the equipment." So I actually spoke to a couple of the other plumbers in town and I said to him, "You know, you guys have used us in the past, but I don't feel right rocking up at your client's house in my branded vehicle. So I'm going to go down this line, create the drain specialist, and we'll rock up and we'll do just your drain specialist work." And it's been very pleasantly welcomed by the other plumbers, and the guys have got a good little reputation for getting things draining and sorted out.
And then the big one, the leak specialist, because people that discover that they've got a water leak on their side of the water meter, but they're not aware of it until they get the bill for several hundred thousand rand. It can be like that, huh?
Yes. Oh, I had a client. I had a client in Zimbabwe that had a 152,000 rand water bill. Many years ago, and funnily enough, it wasn't even an underground water leak.
Wow.
He had been living in the house for a number of years and didn't know that he had a staff toilet attached to the back of his garage, and the toilet refill mechanism had broken off and it was just running full bore. Off it went.
For edges.
152,000 rands worth of water.
Gee whiz.
So, but yes, the leak specialist, you'll see the little van driving around. We've actually just added another bucky to the mix, Mahindra pickup. And That specializes in underground domestic and commercial leak detection.
And I just want to quickly ask you, how does that work? Because it's underground, it's invisible. You don't know. You might see a bit of a, you know, luxuriant growth around an area, but you wouldn't know where the leak is.
So you'll be lucky if you get to see some wet grass and wet sand, because then it's, you know, you're in the right soil. But the soil that we got in Baliti, a majority of everything just drops straight down. So one of our biggest things for garden leak detection is, or external leak detection, is gas. So it's a gas called H5 gas. And we pump the gas into the lines, we purge all the water out the line, and then we survey the property with the gas detector. And the gas detector then picks up a general area of where the leak is. Then we get our audio equipment, which is sound mats, listening rods, all sorts of things. We poke them in the ground, stick them on trees, do amazing things. And you can actually pinpoint it down to literally right on top of where the leak is.
So it's very scientific.
There's a lot involved. I mean, that little car that drives around, there's several hundred thousand rands worth of equipment inside that vehicle.
And that's the most efficient way of doing it. So anyone that's just simply going by, well, let's dig up the whole line, we'll find it that way. Well, you can do that. It's going to take you a long time.
Well, I had a client that phoned me and ended up being a very good client. Phoned me originally and I said to him, I need leak detection. So I was, no problem, sir. We can certainly assist you. I'll get the ladies in the office to contact you. It's a 2,500 rand deposit and just some details on a form. And... what? 2,500 rand? I said, yes, sir. It's just to secure the guys. If we happen to find it quicker, we refund you the balance. If it's anything more, we then
just
bill you accordingly. No. I'm going to give this a go myself. 7 days later, the same gentleman phoned me back. And he said, please, can you come around to the house? I will do the leak detection. His garden looked like a rabbit warren. And that was like, if you could document it and the video document the whole thing, it would be the prime perfect example to show people the benefits of the equipment.
Yeah. Well, it's self-explanatory pretty much. You found the leak, I presume, in
yes.
no time.
Yeah.
would have saved him a lot of bother.
He was most disappointed that he didn't find it, but he was very happy that we found it very quickly.
Well, your reputation is built on a long and very, I would imagine, very productive period of time. How long have you been in business? It's a long time. You've been part of the Baliti scene for years.
So, yeah, I mean, Baliti has been in my blood since 87. Basically, I was almost born, yeah, I wasn't, but... and then I got got into the plumbing thing, a bit of experience when I was in my mid-teens, 2004 odd, and then went into it full throttle in 2007, and I rolled on from there.
So many years of building a reputation. It's a fine reputation. It's one of the jewels in the crown of brand Baliti. Of course, the Chapman Enterprise is well known for excellence in work, and Barry is the king of Chapman Plumbing, the drain specialists, the leak specialists, and the geezer specialists, and sponsors of the afternoon news. By very, very lovely to have you on board as a sponsor. We like your brand a lot. So we'll catch up in another week or so with you. Were last week man down. You recovered?
Yeah, jeez, I got man flu. Man flu is the worst flu. Hit me with a 14-pounder. I was done.
It does that. And the women folk run around when they got the same flu and still carry on. We know. Out finished. Barry Chapman, my very special guest. Thanks, we'll catch up very shortly. The drain specialist, the leak specialist, and the geezer specialist. And this is the afternoon show powered by Bidvest McCarthy, Toyota, Baliti. Here's Dr. Hook.